Funding for the live broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is provided in part by Christus Spahn Health System, the largest not-for-profit healthcare system in South Texas. With 6 hospital campuses, Christus Spahn Health System provides over $55 million in charity care and $10 million in unbilled community services every year to the 13 counties it serves. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of the Cathedral Mass broadcasts. Additional funding is provided by the John G. and Marie Stella Kennedy Memorial Foundation, whose philanthropy serves the Catholic Church across the state.
Welcome to Corpus Christi Cathedral's Sunday Mass, where the gospel of Christ is shared among us. And through the Holy Spirit, our souls will flourish in our daily lives. Join us as we celebrate the Holy Eucharist, live from Corpus Christi Cathedral.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Brethren, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my fault, through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, author of every mercy and of all goodness, who in fasting, prayer, and almsgiving have shown us a remedy for sin, look graciously on this confession of our lowliness, that we who are bowed down by our conscience may always be lifted up by your mercy. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Exodus. In those days, God delivered all these commandments. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that place of slavery. You shall not have other gods before me. You shall not carve idols for yourselves, in the shape of anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the waters below the earth. You shall not bow down before them or worship them. For I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, inflicting punishment for their father's wickedness on the children of those who hate me, down to the third and fourth generation, but bestowing mercy down to the thousandth generation on the children of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave unpunished the one who takes his name in vain. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. 6 days you may labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. No work may be done then either by you or your son or daughter or your male or female slave or your beast or by the alien who lives with you. In 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But on the seventh day, he rested. That is why the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, that you may have a long life in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female slave, nor his ox or ass, nor anything else that belongs to him. The word of the Lord.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. the decrees of the Lord are steadfast. They give wisdom to the simple. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The precepts of the Lord are right. They gladden the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear. It gives light to the eyes. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. The fear of the Lord is pure, abiding forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are all of them just. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life. They are more to be desired than gold, than quantities of gold, and sweeter are they than honey flowing from the comb. Lord, you have the words of everlasting life.
Reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, Jews and Greeks alike, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. The word of the Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life.
Glory to you, Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. From the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them, because he knew them all, and he did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Gospel passage about the cleansing in the temple often confuses people about who they think Jesus is. Sometimes we seem conflicted when we see our Lord showing emotion, just like when he openly cried at seeing that his good friend Lazarus had died. Today in St. John's Gospel, we see a different face of Jesus. We see the angry human face of Jesus. Now, obviously, our Lord is not happy with what he sees. He witnesses firsthand how the temple worship has evolved, a worship that no longer reflects God's original idea of a true worshiping community. And so you might ask, why? Why had the Israelites drifted away from what they were called to be? God's chosen people, chosen to be a beacon, chosen to be the enlightenment for the rest of the nations, chosen to be the example of how to worship the one true God. But as we know, they drifted away, just like you and I can drift away at times in our lives. In studying this situation in relation to the gospel, I give two possible reasons, not that they're the only ones, but two possible reasons as they relate to today's gospel passage. Firstly, the religious leaders had put their own religious rituals over their own sense of morality and spirituality. And secondly, they had put the particular over the universal. And so let's talk about these two. The first point, the religious rituals. The religious administrators of the temple were very strict in ensuring that all worshipers who visited the temple were supplied with high-quality animals for sacrifice, the cattle, the sheep, and the doves. They even made sure that the quote-unquote dirty money people brought with them was exchanged for the very holy temple money. But let's look on the opposite side of this religious piety that they had. They were, in fact, at the same time plotting against our Lord. So what a contradiction. And so if they were supposedly using all of their energy in their effort, in their religious services and their rituals to worship God, we might then ask, why didn't they take the trouble to really investigate who Jesus was rather than condemning him? But you see, pleasing God to them had become something that you did in the rituals of the temple and not in your relationship with your fellow man. This type of religiosity, we know, made Jesus very angry. You know, I was thinking this week about this whole situation and kind of reading up on the background of this gospel passage, and I came across a little story that illustrates this very point. And it was about a parish priest who was returning to the rectory one night when he was accosted by a robber with a handgun. The robber pointed the handgun at the priest and said, "Your money or your life?" When the priest reached to get his wallet, the robber saw that he had a Roman collar, and he asked, "Are you a priest?" And naturally, the priest answered, "Yes, I am." So he said, "Well, then you can go." Now, this priest was so relieved and so overwhelmed that he tried to offer the robber a pack of cigarettes, to which the robber replied, "No thanks, Father. I don't smoke during Lent." Now, this is not supposed to be a funny story, but you can see how this little story demonstrates how this criminal is trying to keep the pious observance of not smoking during Lent while absolutely forgetting the more fundamental commandments of God: thou shalt not steal and thou shalt not kill. But he observed the law of abstinence during Lent. All of us need to give this example some thought in our own lives during this Lenten season of 2015. The second reason that I mentioned was the temple leadership's ability and their inclination to place the religious particular over the religious universal. In other words, of being exclusive as opposed to being an inclusive community. But I think a small bit of knowledge about the design of the temple itself will help in our understanding of this. Very briefly, the temple had five sections, or what they called five courts. In the very center of these courts was the court of the Holy of Holies. The second court was the court of priests, the third, the court of Israel, the fourth, the court of women, and the fifth was the court of the Gentiles. These courts were seen as five concentric circles, in other words, circles with a common center like a bullseye on a target, the Holy of Holies being that bullseye. And this design, as you can see, made room for everybody and everyone in the house of God, even for Gentiles. It was a universal house of God for all nations, where every man and every woman on earth could find a place in which to pray. But the temple priests and the leaders forgot about that. Again, they drifted away. They forgot why they were to be the chosen race, and they began to follow their own belief system that the temple was meant only for the Jews. And so they turned the court of the Gentiles into a holy marketplace for selling animals required for sacrifice and for exchanging money. See, you could only bring Roman money as far as the court of the Gentiles and not into the other four courts. And so now this court of the Gentiles was no longer regarded as part and parcel of the house of God. It had become a marketplace, just pure and simple. And so you see, it was in this court, the court of the Gentiles, that Jesus cleansed the temple. And in doing so, he was making his point very strongly and very vividly that the Gentile section was just as holy as the Jewish sections. God is the God of all, not of a select group. What a powerful way to make a statement. But as we know, the temple elite could not see, or maybe they did not want to see. They were blinded by their own religious piety. So you might ask, well, where is all this leading? My friends, during our Lent, our purpose is to look at our own lives beyond our own religious piety, to cleanse our own temples, to cleanse our own hearts. And it's hard to do. We need to cleanse our own hearts of the ego and the self-centeredness, and maybe thinking we ourselves have an exclusive God only for our religion. But you see, we're Catholic. The name itself means universal. We should be a welcoming church, open to all who wish to become part of our worshiping community. It is true, Jesus did get angry, but it was an anger based on love. The love for the house of God. And so during Lent, let all of us try to get back to our original purpose of being a loving and welcoming Catholic community. And I say, let it begin with each one of us individually, starting in our own households. May Almighty God bless you and protect you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray on behalf of all those in need, mindful that God is wiser than human wisdom and knows our needs even before we utter them.
For God's holy church, that we might serve the world with zeal and dedication, we pray to the Lord. For leaders throughout the world, that they might heed God's commands and act with justice and compassion towards all equally, we pray to the Lord. For our brothers and sisters in the Middle East and in other parts of the world who are being persecuted, for their Christian faith. Let us pray to the Lord. For those preparing for the Easter sacraments, especially those in our midst, may they come to believe in Jesus' name more deeply every day. We pray to the Lord. For our community, as we use this Lenten season to purify and cleanse the temple of our hearts from all sin, we pray to the Lord. For the safety of the men and women of our armed forces, for their families, and for all who place their lives in danger in the service of others, we pray to the Lord. For the intentions of this Mass, for the eternal repose of the souls of Patsy Hinojosa, Robert E. and Hannah G. Hagelin, Robert E. Hagelin Jr., Arcadio Rivera, and Olivia Rivera, we pray to the Lord. Now, my friends, for all of the prayers that we hold in the silence of our hearts. For all of our intentions, spoken and unspoken, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Let us pray. O God, your law is perfect, refreshing our souls. Hear our prayers, which we bring to you at your invitation, and graciously grant them according to your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life. Blessed be God. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the wine we offer you, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. Become our spiritual drink.
Let me do
pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. Let us pray. Be pleased, O Lord, with these sacrificial offerings, and grant that we who beseech pardon for our own sins may take care to forgive our neighbor. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dominus vobiscum, et cum spiritu tuo, sursum corda. Gratias agamus, Domino Deo nostro. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your children a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that, freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that eternally endure. And so with all the angels and saints, we praise you as without end we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it,
For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me.
The mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come again.
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis our Pope and Michael our Bishop, his brother bishops Edmund and Renee, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family, whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good.
Per ipsum et cum ipso et in ipso, est ibi Deo Patri omnipotenti, in unitate Spiritus Sancti, omnes honor et gloria, per omnia saecula saeculorum. Receptus salutaribus moniti, et divina institutione formati, audemus dicere. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tuum, in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo.
Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy, we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
For the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you," look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And with your spirit. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
I'm Father Han Fang, rector of Corpus Christi Cathedral. On behalf of Bishop Mulvey and all of us here at the Cathedral, I would like to thank you for joining us this morning for this live broadcast of the Sunday Liturgy. May you and all who are dear to you always be blessed in the gift of God's love, peace, and joy, and know that all of you remain in our prayers. And may Almighty God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The weekly broadcast of the Cathedral Sunday Mass is made possible in part by the generosity of Christus Spahn Health System, providing more than $6,000 of charity care every hour of every day to the residents of South Texas. More specific information is available on the web at christusspahn.org. Our thanks to Christus Spahn Health System and the Sisters of Charity of the Incarnate Word for their support of this broadcast and their many other ministries and services to the people of South Texas. If you've been blessed by this broadcast and would like to support the Cathedral TV Mass Ministry, consider sending a tax-deductible contribution to the address on your screen. The Cathedral Sunday Mass is a ministry of the Corpus Christi Cathedral and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.